I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Glad you could make it here. We kick off in Europe today, Denmark specifically. It's one of the countries struggling to cope with the arrival of large numbers of refugees, and there are signs the welcome is not what it used to be. Today, the Danish parliament approved a new law that allows the government to seize the assets of asylum seekers, as in any cash or valuables that they have, in excess of $1,500 when they enter Denmark. The UN says that may violate international rules on refugees, and many in Denmark are appalled by the idea. Jesper Tobo Carlsen is the political editor for Politiken newspaper in Copenhagen.
It's very much a divider in Denmark. Polls suggest that about half the population in Denmark supports this, and the other half is either sort of indifferent or very much against it. So it's definitely a divider.
So where would you say we're at in terms of frustration among Danes with the arrival of these new migrants, especially since last summer when we saw a really kind of welcoming attitude among a lot of Europeans toward the migrants? Where are we at today?
The atmosphere has definitely changed over the last 6 months. In Denmark, you could definitely detect a very open atmosphere in September, October, when there was a sudden rise in the number of asylum seekers. And you can see from polls that most Danes supported that we should not only accept asylum seekers, but we should also cooperate in Europe between the European countries about how we divide them between us. This atmosphere has changed, and the atmosphere is somewhat harsher now, and the political rhetoric is much harsher.
Your kind of notion that the policy brings migrants into line with Danes who are out of work and they have to sell assets above a certain level to claim unemployment benefits, so why not the migrants? I mean, if the government is rationalizing it that way, I'm wondering if there's a risk of aggravating the anger that unemployed Danes have with the migrants, whom they see as potentially taking jobs they might otherwise get.
Yeah, that is an issue, and that is definitely also an issue when we discuss, as we do now also in Denmark, how all these new immigrants should and asylum seekers should be a part of the labor force in Denmark. There's a debate in Denmark, as in other European countries, should they be allowed to work for lesser pay, or should employers be allowed to hire them for less money, which would probably be a good thing for bringing people into the workforce, but it could aggravate the latent anger in the working population if jobs were offered for less wage. So that is an issue.
Yeah, and also, once the assets are seized of asylum seekers, aren't they in kind of even more limbo?
That is a big concern that has been raised. It has been ignored by the government, but you could certainly make the argument that as a tool of integration, this is counterproductive, because if you are stripped and have basically nothing, you're further away from being a citizen and taking part in Danish society.
So, Jesper, what do you think? Will this new legislation actually dissuade migrants from entering Denmark?
I think when migrants make a decision about fleeing their country, where to go, it's a factor of many things. And the atmosphere in one country or another probably plays a role, but I think a minor role.
Jesper Tobo Carlsen, the political editor for the Politiken newspaper in Copenhagen. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
More than a million migrants have streamed into the continent in the past year, and some countries have responded by reinstating border controls. That's a huge deal because it throws Europe's open borders policy into chaos. That policy is based on the Schengen Agreement, a pact that did away with the need for passports to cross the common borders of 26 European nations. Americans can't even do that with Canada. Constance Stelzenmüller is a senior fellow at Brookings. She says Schengen was meant to reshape Europe when it came into force in 1995.
Essentially supposed to make the European Union borderless, so that people, goods, trade, travel, but also political relations could take place between these countries without the additional burden of having to show your passport and go through customs. So if there is, you know, one symbol of European unity that really has trickled down to people's normal lives beyond the euro, the common currency, it really is the Schengen Agreement.
And I imagine pretty liberating for a lot of Europeans who could potentially drive from the North Cape of Norway all the way down to the Spanish town of Tarifa, which is practically in Morocco and Africa. Is it all starting to unravel now with the refugee influx?
I think personally, and I hope I'm not proven wrong, that this agreement and the ideas it embodies is so important to all of us that nobody in their right mind, except maybe some of the really right-wing fringe in Europe, would advocate abolishing it altogether. And I'm inclined to think that even the really right wing, which do exist, would know better than to do that because European businesses would be in an uproar. You know, the trucks moving goods back and forth, for them to have to wait in front of a border in mile-long lines again, or as we would say, kilometer-long lines, that would not make anybody very popular.
If Schengen is the kind of physical manifestation of European unity, how much is European unity, how much is the EU under pressure right now?
Well, some of this may be payback for German perceived high-handedness, arrogance, and the treatment of Greece, of the Eurozone crisis, and certainly of a retaliation for the fact that when the Germans opened the border last summer, that placed an enormous burden on the countries of transit between Turkey and Greece and Germany. But I have to say that I was very impressed by Angela Merkel making this decision, and I still think that she was both morally and in the long term politically right to do this. But we also have to acknowledge that this was not well handled in terms of negotiating the impact on Germany's neighbors. So yes, there may be some punishment involved, and I think that doesn't change the fact that what is needed now is some kind of European compromise, a European conversation about how to mitigate this, because the problem is not going to go away if you simply close the borders. And as we have learned, and indeed as America has learned at its Mexican borders, it is impossible to completely close off a border. People find a way if they're desperate enough. In other words, this is not a problem that you can just solve by putting up border controls again.
Constance Stelzenmüller there, a senior fellow at Brookings.